Hey, I'm Micah.
And I'm Jen.
From 1994 to 1996, Jen lived in the middle of nowhere, Montana.
But not by choice.
She was sent to a therapeutic boarding school.
I had some issues.
While there, she performed hard labor.
There was also a lot of forced exercise.
Went through daily, hours-long group therapy.
That shit didn't work.
And when she left, she was left with some holes in her life.
Holes?
One of the holes was her pop culture hole.
Yeah, I missed a lot of shit.
And that's a hole we can fill. Lace up your Jordans. It's time for...
I never saw that.
Hey, everybody. We're going to do something unique and different this week that we have never done before.
I just want to make clear, you said unique and different in this, like, fun, exciting way, and I'm doing this under duress and under protest.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. So we're going to watch Beverly Hills 90210. The thing is that the seasons that are in our timeline are seasons 5 and 6. So I'm going to make Micah watch a very early episode, and then I think we'll watch the season 4 finale so that we know what's happening, and then we're going to dive into season 5. But
by dive in, she means I will watch one episode because I agreed to watch 3 episodes, and you're burning 2. On previous seasons.
So we are doing this because Luke Perry very tragically died yesterday, way too young, of a massive stroke, and you're going to stop being a dick about it because we're doing this for Luke.
I'm probably not going to.
What I want to do here is have you, Micah, predict. Well, so you've never watched this show at all.
So we didn't get this channel when I was growing up. We lived out like 10 miles from the nearest town in a bunch of hills and valleys in rural Oregon.
We lived in a bunch of hills and valleys.
Amongst the hills and valleys. We lived up a valley in rural Oregon, and TV reception was not great. Mm-hmm. So we never got Fox, which is what this show was on, right?
I'm not sure, actually. I think so.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. That's the only way that my story makes sense. So we're retconning this. It was on Fox. So I never watched this show during its heyday. And I wouldn't have been interested in it anyway. It's like a teenage soap opera, basically, and it wouldn't have been my jam, I don't think.
But your sister was super into it.
My sister somehow was super into it. She must have been at college when it was bigger. So she loved the show. I had never seen one frame, like not even passing by a television, seen it on until after college. I can almost guarantee that. Mm-hmm. But I knew who the characters were and who the actors were. There were posters everywhere, and they were in, you know, the pop culture. And I knew that there were a bunch of 40-year-olds playing teens with sideburns.
No, they were not 40-year-olds.
So I really don't know. I know some of the character names, and I know some of the things that happen, I think.
So stop right there. Just in case people haven't made this connection, we are watching something this time that I've seen...
But I have not.
But Micah hasn't. But the thing is, I haven't seen the parts we're going to watch that are for this show, but I was very into this show when I was like 12-ish. So I've probably watched the first couple seasons at least. So I just want to hear from Micah, who claims he doesn't know anything about this show and has never seen even a frame of it. I want to hear what you do know. I want to hear... You know, who the characters are, what some of the circumstances are that you know about, stuff like that.
Okay.
So, like, what we really want is a recap, a very quick recap.
Of the first 4 seasons.
Of the first 4 seasons.
Okay, I can do this very, very quickly.
Okay.
Shannon Doherty plays Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
And her brother, Brandon,
mm-hmm.
live in Beverly Hills 90210, which is a zip code in an area near Los Angeles, a very swanky neighborhood.
Yes, but their can parents, I just tell you, I don't want that many details.
Their parents die, get divorced.
Keep going.
Die and get divorced. And
which one happens first?
They happen simultaneously in their lawyer's office. A meteor comes and hits. So Brandon and Brenda have to fend for themselves, much like Party of Five.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just 2 of them. And right. They're twins.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Identical twins. The world's only identical fraternal-ish twins.
Nope. But okay.
Then surfer dude Luke Perry rolls in on his sideburns and says, "Hey, I don't care about school. and carries on like that.
Wait, did I mention that we're doing this because Luke Perry passed away yesterday?
Yes.
At a very young age, and it's very, very tragic, and I'm very sad about it, and yeah, it's a real bummer. So, in case I hadn't said that, go on.
He was a lot of people's first crush.
Mine included.
First celebrity crush I've picked up from Twitter the last few days, or the last day.
He was definitely one of mine, for sure.
Was it the sideburns, or the fact that he was, like, in his mid-40s, playing a teenager? What was it that attracted you to him? His slacker attitude? I think, is that right? Is that accurate, actually, that he was, like, a slacker dude from the wrong side of the tracks?
Yeah, he's, like, the bad boy surfer dude.
So he was from, but like, he was Beverly Valley 90211.
I think that maybe. You should tread carefully where Luke Perry is concerned right now. And I'm not joking with you, and I'm being stern. Do not talk shit about Luke Perry. So back to Luke Perry's character.
Yeah, his name was Glueden.
Glueden.
Mm-hmm. That's correct, right?
His name's Dylan.
Dylan. Glueden is close, though.
Dylan, Dylan McKay.
Several letters are similar.
Uh-huh.
There are two more male characters that I know. Main male characters. One is curly blonde guy.
Mm-hmm.
Matt.
Steve.
Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And one is Brian Austin Green.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Brian Austin Green
mm-hmm.
on the yes. show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then there are also three more female characters, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly.
Yep.
Who's played by an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And then two more also played by actors, human actors. And their names are daughter of the producer.
Mm-hmm. Donna.
Donna.
And Tori Spelling.
Tori Spelling, thank you. And glasses.
Andrea.
Brown hair. Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the character's name?
That's the character's name. The actor's name is Gabrielle something.
I never would have come up with Andrea.
Okay.
Kelly, I already mentioned, right?
You did.
And she's blonde.
Yep. Okay. Jenny Garth.
Jenny Garth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I got them all. I got all the
Yeah. But now, so characters. I wanted to hear, like, what,
mm-hmm.
what so are the circumstances?
The
what
death,
are
death, divorce of Brandon and Brenda's
parents.
Uh-huh. Dylan's wrong side of the tracks kid. Brian Austin Green. I'm just going to call him that because his name is impossible to remember in the show. He is
it's
like...
It's David, actually.
He's a DJ.
Uh-huh.
I know that.
Okay.
For the school radio station.
Uh-huh.
And Matt, Steve, is like the nerdy book kid who's real smart.
Okay.
Okay.
So may I interrupt?
Mm-hmm.
Give me an overview of what has happened between these characters, what kind of problems they've faced, how they've overcome
okay.
them,
okay.
like who
right.
who you think is like enemies or...
So in one episode, I don't remember because I never saw it, there's a drug dealer who is disrupting their book club that they have all the time where they read books to each other.
The teens are having a book
the
club?
The teens are having a book club.
Where they read to each other.
Yeah, Matt can't read.
His name's Steve.
Steve
you
has
said
a learning
he was
disability.
You
can be really smart and do
well, yeah,
and have a learning
of
disability.
Of course, but okay.
Okay. So what I'm interested to see is if my writing of this teen soap opera is more or less consistent than the writing that's actually on the show. I can't wait.
What do you mean by that? You haven't said anything.
Well, just, you know, my weird little things where I said he was really smart and really good at school, and then I said he has a learning disability and can't read.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's one episode where DJ David can't find the Color Me Bad, I Want to Sex You Up CD, and people keep requesting it because it's a hot hit.
Yeah.
And he's just freaking out and sweating, and there's a lot of, like, madcap hijinks and stuff. Turns out Kelly borrowed it
mm-hmm.
to listen to in her disc man.
Yeah.
And she and the girls are like sharing headphones, listening to it and dancing in the hallway.
Yeah.
And he runs out and does that thing where you run around the corner of the hall in the school and like spin out and
like slide
go sideways
kind of,
and
uh-huh.
he slides and he sees him and he's like, what?
Wow. It's fun. It's,
why'd you fuck me over?
It's so
stuff
interesting
like
that.
That
you have such a vivid
mm-hmm.
memory of something you've never seen.
So that was a landmark episode because it was the first F-bomb on network television, like broadcast TV. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, I didn't. I definitely did not know that.
There's another one where Brenda gets hooked on coffee.
Okay.
Just can't get off coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But Jenny Garth's character turns her into T. So they resolve that one.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, who dates who and stuff? Like, what
they
do you
all
think?
Date each other.
Mm-hmm. It's You're actually not far off on that.
They just keep dating each other back and forth, and not Brendan Brandon, because that'd be weird.
Mm-hmm.
There was a script that they wrote. They never shot it because the TV censors at the time were like, no, we can't do incest. This isn't fucking Game of Thrones, guys. You got to wait about 20 years, and HBO is going to cover that.
Okay. What do you think? Like, what are the, like, what's the main thing, would you say, that transpires between season one and the end of season four so that we can be done with this and go watch it?
I think, because they're all, like, rich kids that live in Beverly Hills. So I think the biggest thing is that Brandon sells his Corvette and gets a Mazda Miata.
Okay, I'm not asking for specific, like...
No, that's the big change in the season. That's the whole...
No, over four seasons, that's the big...
No, that's just the first season. That's the, like...
See, what... No.
What car am I going to get? Because I'm rich.
Got it. But I need problems. You to shut up and listen to me.
Okay.
Listen to my question.
Okay.
What would you say is the biggest thing that happens over the course of four seasons, like between these friends? Like, what do you think changes in their lives between season one and season four? Or five.
Dylan becomes a paleontologist.
Uh-huh. That's it.
I think. And discovers a new dinosaur.
That's what transpired in all of their lives.
I think that's the biggest thing.
Okay. So the biggest things that happened on this show ever in the first four seasons.
Brandon gets a Miata.
Yeah. And Dylan becomes a paleontologist.
Oh, Tori Spelling has an eating disorder. I'm sure that's going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
There's an eating disorder episode, I almost guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
One of them gets another friend, like a kind of a side friend, a character that's recurring, but doesn't really fit in with the group because they're poor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to happen. There's going to be some pores.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of what else is going to happen. Did happen that I clearly don't remember because I never watched it.
Yeah, I think we're good. I mean, unless you're going to say, the thing that you have missed the entire point of the whole show, which is like love interests. I mean, that's the only point of this show.
Well, Brandon loves his car. David loves Color Me Bad. And Dylan loves leather jackets. Brandon loves his car. I already said that.
Yeah, you're just Matt, going in circles with the dudes.
Steve loves jeans. High-waisted, acid-wash jeans. Kelly loves David. David loves Brandon. Fiona loves...
There's... Okay.
I think I'm getting some things mixed up.
I think you're doing great. And let's go watch some episodes of 90210 and see what you got right.
All right. So, listeners, I'm just going to put this on you because I'm not going to do it. But if you want to track all the things that I predicted.
Oh, I don't think that's going to be necessary at all.
Keep track. I want to see like detailed statistical reports and charts and graphs.
What I will tell you, maybe. Because we probably won't watch these episodes, is that yes, there's at least one, I think several eating disorder episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely drug dealer episodes.
Yep.
And
drinking at parties.
Pores. I wouldn't say like actually poor people. But there are, like, Andrea isn't super rich. Dylan isn't super rich. Brenda and Brandon are supposed to be not really, but they totally are.
Because their parents died.
Okay. Anyway, here we go. Any last words?
Help me, please. So we ended up watching several episodes, a lot of 90210. We talked about only watching a few. We watched... like the third episode or something, because that's when Dylan's first introduced.
Of
the first season. We watched the first...
I made you watch the very beginning, because... Yeah.
You got to get some background
and stuff. You have to know, yeah.
Then we watched the finale of the fourth season. Then we watched the premiere of the fifth season. The finale of the fifth season, which was... That was a ride, because we didn't know what the fuck was going on and what had happened. And then we watched random episodes in between, and some later, I think, and we watched the whole... like all of the 19th season. So I just want to make clear that I really went above and beyond for this. And one thing I'd like to point out, I feel vindicated because 100% of my predictions came true. I just ran the numbers as we were going through my notes.
Oh, you ran the numbers?
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like when you run the numbers?
Well, I asked our listeners to do it, but I just decided I'll do it. We just re-listened to my predictions before recording this right now, and I was just keeping track, making tally marks on my phone of all the correct ones, and I came up with 100% correct answers.
Well, yeah,
and predictions.
I mean, you would come up with 100% correct if you're making tally marks only for the ones you got correct.
Dylan did roll in on his sideburns.
That's true.
Steve did like acid washed high waisted jeans.
Okay.
Many other predictions were right.
Okay. Well, clearly Micah got no. Well, actually, for sure, yes, your eating disorder prediction and all that. We didn't see those episodes, but
I just counted those right.
I can tell you that's definitely true.
You got one wrong, though.
I got two wrong.
Two wrong. You said Dylan was a poor.
I said Dylan was not.
You said he wasn't as rich as.
Yeah, but that was wrong.
He ends up being super rich.
Yeah, he's like super rich boy who lives in this fancy hotel that his dad owns. But the interesting thing about that is that later in the fifth season, which is the one that's in our timeline, he loses all his money and because his mom and stepdad are
his stepmom and stepdad.
They scam him and he loses all his money. So yeah, I did force Micah to watch several episodes.
So many episodes, you guys.
I watched many more than he did. I went back and it's true that like the way we watched these was very confusing.
Very confusing. Also, I just want to say before we get too much further into this, I also feel vindicated for another reason. I spent most of my life up to like past college without having ever seen a frame of this show. And I stand by that as having been a good decision because this show was garbage. I'm just going to say that right now.
Wow.
So bad.
You are going to alienate so many. I don't think we're going to have any more listeners if you continue on this fucking self-righteous path that
you're
on.
It was garbage in the way that like soap operas are trash television. People are into it. People like the relationships are interesting. I know that people get attached to things when they watch them when they're kids. And this was a huge phenomenon. So obviously I'm wrong. It wasn't garbage. Millions and millions of people loved this show. But it was so bad.
Micah?
Yes.
I can recognize that it was very bad in certain ways. Some of the acting is painfully bad. Mm-hmm. And the storylines can be very trite and stuff like that. It also is, you know, it looks like a 90s TV show. And
it looks worse than any 90s TV show I've ever seen.
Through this podcast, that does not look good.
Yeah. It looks like a soap opera. It looks like it was filmed on my home video camera from the 90s.
Yeah. But I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong that it was garbage. I think that it has a lot of redeeming qualities. And luckily you already said this or I would be yelling it at you right now. You can't completely discount something that was such a big deal to so many people.
Right.
People cared a lot about these characters. I mean, we're doing this because Luke Perry died, and I was like, we have to do 90210. And I have to say, Luke Perry's by far the best part of this show. He was always the best part of this show. It makes me very sad every time I see him. He's also hot as hell. Way better actor than any of the other people in this show.
I was going to say that was the one thing I got very, very wrong.
Yeah.
I thought, I had a running joke that Jen always thought was hilarious throughout our relationship.
I would
always get Luke Perry and I can't even remember the other
Jason
name. Jason Priestley mixed up. Every time I saw a picture, I'd be like, oh, that's Jason Priestley. Oh, that's Luke Perry. And she thought it was
on purpose.
So funny. She just thought it was
I've never even grinned at that.
And I thought that Luke Perry was terrible. He was by far the only person who was acting
by
on this
far
television
the only
show.
Person?
Yes. All the other people, I don't know. I do have a theory that, and I can talk about when this was proven to me, but I have a theory that Tori Spelling, this show was like the Truman Show for Tori Spelling. Like she thought it was all real and her dad, the producer, set it all up.
Mm.
The reason I know that's true, that was just a theory before, but then in the season 5 premiere, Brenda's gone. So Shannon Doherty had left the show at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And in the story, she went to London for a like month-long acting workshop thing and then was going to come back. In the premiere, Kelly tells her, yeah, Brenda's gone. She's not coming back. And Tori Spelling was like,
Brenda's not coming back?
Like, she really didn't know. It's the only time she acted believably for me in the show, because I think that she really didn't know that Shannon Doherty wasn't coming back to the show.
I was aware of this theory because...
Mm-hmm. Because it's truth.
No, because you did share it while we were watching the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me laugh so much that I believe you asked if I was okay. So... Yeah, so because we did this in such a confusing way, well, first of all, I want to push back. You're totally wrong. There are lots of people on this show that are okay actors. I think Jason Priestley is painful to watch.
He's terrible. He's the worst. No, Steve is the worst.
No, see, I don't.
Steve's smile is the worst.
Character is the worst.
So bad.
I disagree.
He's so stiff and awkward and.
I don't know.
His smile is so fake looking. It's like, I can't even.
That's just what his smile looks like, though.
No, it's him trying to act like he's
happy. No, Micah. Anyway, they're not like great actors, but I think they're fine. I don't think the acting is the problem.
Andrea is not bad, right?
Yeah, by the way, I said her name wrong. Well, that was the other one I got wrong from our prediction.
Also said it wrong several times.
No, I called her Andrea, and her name is Andrea. But they sometimes say Andrea. So yeah. I don't know, but we'll call her Andrea. Anyway, I think the problem you have with it is just like the writing and the style of the show.
And the video camera they used.
Yeah, the more than the acting camera, is what I'm saying.
The soap opera effect. And the acting. The acting was terrible. One thing I did like that they did in the season 5 premiere, production-wise, I thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. They were coming back from... you know, the end of season 4 and had to recap all this stuff. Andrea had a baby that was in intensive care and she was a preemie and mm-hmm. all this stuff. So they
didn't
had
know
to
if she was going
to
make it.
Catch everybody up on all of these things. The way they did that is they had little conversations with each other because they had all gone on trips and stuff and they were coming back and they were seeing each other for the first time in a while. And then they'd have a conversation and say, yeah, you remember this happened. And then it would go into like a black and white reenactment. Like it's some like unsolved mysteries crime show or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was so
it was great. Oh, it was hilarious. I was definitely into that. I did write down. So something that I did that I'll reveal to you now is that I was writing down a lot of the things that you said while we watched this.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of them where you said, I like all the black and white flashbacks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, do you? And you said, yeah, they're really well done.
You know, your reading of that right now, I think you could have starred on this show. That was
wow,
pretty rude. Intense. I was really feeling our conversation again.
Mm-hmm. Some other things that Micah decided to make dead baby jokes.
Did I?
When Andrea... had a premature baby.
I wasn't making jokes.
You, yes, you were.
I was asking.
No,
the baby dies, right? I was legitimately concerned that the baby was going to die.
Here's another thing that happened. Is that when the baby was born, somebody said code blue. And Micah said code blue. And I said, it means she's blue. And you said, then that's not a code.
That's true.
It is true.
The other thing I noticed... that then I realized maybe it's not totally the show's fault. The music was fucking terrible.
Agreed.
Horrible.
I made a note on that.
And I'm wondering if a lot of it is really bad because it was replaced. Because they didn't have the rights to stream it digitally. Because they've done that with a lot of shows and we've talked about that on other episodes.
Yeah.
Some of it sounded like Tori Spelling's little brother had a MIDI keyboard and they just had him play it in the garage and...
It sounded like chain coffee shop music, but not even like Starbucks level. It's like if a coffee shop was in an elevator.
So elevator music.
Yeah,
but coffee.
But a coffee shop elevator.
Like
you know
a
what
coffee
I mean?
Shop with two floors.
No.
So you have to go up.
The coffee shop is in the elevator.
Do you order on the first floor and then go up to get...
No, the coffee shop is in the elevator.
Oh, like a little coffee stand. That's a good idea. For those long elevator rides and skyscrapers when you get kind of tired, we need to trademark this right now. Anyone listening, don't take our idea. We're going to become hundredaires.
Are you done yet?
I'm done.
Okay. Let me mention something real quick. I'd like to talk about characters.
Yes.
Individually.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I would like to get through this episode.
Okay. Can we start with A.C. Slater? Did not see him.
Oh, my God.
Kept waiting for him to show up.
Oh, Jesus.
Kelly Kapowski showed up.
She did. She plays Valerie.
The only note I have on Valerie is...
Oh, my God. Can you shut up? We're going to get there. Fucking Jesus. What I want to say is in our Facebook group, I did post a couple polls asking people who is your favorite 90210 character and who is your least favorite. Now, I went with the OG characters from like season one.
Mm-hmm.
There were some, you know, later characters that were added that I should have put in there, like Valerie was one.
Ray.
She's a pretty great character. Yeah.
Ray's terrible.
He's terrible. But the classic characters, the ones who were there from the beginning.
Gluten, Matt.
Gluten and Matt, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And by far, Dylan won favorite character.
Yeah.
But a lot of people voted for Kelly also. Hmm. And I will say I actually added a vote for Kelly. Well, you could vote for more than one. And I didn't mean to make it that way, but it was. And so people did that. And so then I did that. So...
Sounds like a real scientific situation.
I added a vote for Kelly because I despise her in the beginning. And like, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
She's like...
Beverly Hills.
The show is very much like Clueless in the beginning. Mm. Only not... Like, it is making fun of itself. It is making fun of people who live in Beverly Hills and...
Is it though?
Like, they're... Yes, because it's because you're seeing it through the eyes of Brandon and Brenda, who just moved from like the Midwest.
Right.
So you're seeing all this excess and just sort of, you know, ridiculous privilege and an obsession with the way they look. And
again, maybe some people involved in the production
consumerism
were thinking that. I'm not sure Tori Spelling was quite there during the filming of this.
Okay. Anyway.
She literally grew up in Beverly Hills. Like, I feel like this was just her life.
Maybe, but they're definitely, like...
I don't know if that's true. I don't know where she grew up, but...
They're self-aware, I would say, in the beginning at least. I don't know. I think they kind of lose that awareness later, but also it's just because the characters grow and become actual people. But yeah, least favorite character by far was Steve.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
Who were the other votes? There were some votes for...
Brandon.
No, only I voted.
Really?
I changed my vote from Steve to Brandon. Now, it's clear Steve is the worst character. Maybe we should start with Steve.
Okay, let's talk about Steve.
Okay, we can talk about Steve. Steve is the worst character, like personality-wise.
He's gross.
Gross, he's an asshole.
He's a sexist.
Super pig. Sexist. He's also racist. We watched, episode we watched?
I watched one about the basketball team. Brandon was trying out for basketball.
Was that in season one? It must have been.
I think so.
Yeah. So Brandon was trying out for basketball, and there are all these players who apparently...
Transfer in from other schools.
Transferred or go to other schools or something. Yeah. And he gets all up in arms about it and looks into it, and Steve makes a comment about how we got to stick together,
mm-hmm.
meaning white boys. Anyway... That whole situation sucked. Brandon sucked.
Steve, in season 5, still shitty.
Oh,
hasn't
grown
or changed at all. He's gotten way worse.
I don't think he does. He's terrible.
Yeah. He's just sexist and nasty, and they're going to California University now. They're all in college, and he is in the Keg House, which is a fraternity house.
Yeah. Oh, it's gross. He's, like, playing golf, and... Trying to make connections, you know, those guys.
All he wants to do is, like, hook up with women, though. He just sees women driving around.
He wants to hook up with women, and he wants to just be rich without doing much, which, you know, that's his life. But, yeah, his attitude about women is very bad. There is a scene, there is a part where he hooks up with a woman who turns out to be transgender. Remember that?
Yeah. And it's handled really well by this television show from the 90s. Oh, of course it
is. Yeah.
When they're making out and he accidentally takes out one of her padded bra inserts, her voice changes and says, oh, like you didn't know.
Oh, I didn't notice the voice change.
It was so awkward and poorly
done. He like feels, you know, her penis and...
Yeah, and then he's super grossed out.
He's super grossed out. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, my bar is very low as far as 90s TV shows and these kinds of issues, but it could have been worse.
Yeah, could have been much worse.
You know? Anyway, doesn't matter. He's an asshole. He's an asshole throughout. There's a thing with dudes in this show that Brandon also adopts in the fifth season where they really think that they own women, you know? And it's just really annoying.
Dylan doesn't do that. Does he?
No, Dylan doesn't do that.
He seems like a pretty good guy. Dylan's most of the show, right?
Fucking rad. He has his own issues. Right. With, like, you know, drugs and alcohol and mostly alcohol. God, the show's attitude about drugs is so hilarious. But anyway, Steve, anything else you want to say about Steve?
I'd mean, rather never pretty talk much about
he's
him
an asshole. I do sometimes find him entertaining, but he's just the worst. He's terrible. Okay, who's next? Brandon?
Sure.
Brandon's the worst. I just said Steve's Brandon. The worst, but...
I don't know. I'd actually put David beneath Brandon.
Well...
David's just a slimy weasel boy.
I put Brandon as my least favorite character because Brandon, up until season 5, when he kind of goes on this little bender, I guess, he is the most irritatingly moral, like he's this...
Yeah, he plays the morality police and he's working for the paper with...
Andrea.
And he writes all these exposés and all these things, and he's always up on his high horse.
There's he's a scene on at one point such a high horse
where he gets a job at a restaurant, but then he finds out that all the workers there that aren't white, are like, if they don't have green cards or, you know, they're immigrants, they're not getting paid, they're not getting tips, they're not getting minimum wage, they're getting totally fucked over. So he says he quits and tells his boss, I've been working undercover this whole time. I work for this newspaper at California University, and I'm going to write a big expose on this. And she's like, oh, screw you. No, you're not. So he throws his apron down and he goes and sits down at a table and orders some drinks.
It's so weird.
And then there's no follow up. He doesn't write any fucking article. He all upset and he leaves.
I think that it's supposed to be implied that he's going to write the article, but he doesn't do anything for those guys.
No.
It's so funny. This is Brandon. This is Brandon. He's like, this is bad. This is a bad thing, and I'm good. And I'm gonna do good things.
Yeah.
And so he quits and then just like abandons those guys there. Brandon just irritates the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Andrea's even worse as far as, like, because there's also an episode where Brandon cheats on where he and Steve are like cheating on tests. I can't remember why, but whatever. Yeah. Yeah, this is back in high school. And Andrea like won't talk to Brandon for weeks. And she's like so disappointed. She thought he was the one person who was like,
well, she was also in love with him, right?
Respectable and ugh.
But yes, it was never,
she was in love with him.
They never hooked up.
I don't think so. I think it was always pretty much unrequited love.
So Brandon is the worst, but I do have to say he grows a little bit in season 5 because he shaves that fucking goatee that he had at the beginning of the season. And it was fucking terrible.
Thank God. Yeah, in season 5, he and Kelly are a thing. But then they break up
because he asks her to marry him and she says not right now, and he says then we're done forever.
Brandon, just because I didn't want to move in and get married right away doesn't mean I still don't want a relationship with you.
What are you talking about? I proposed, you said no, end of conversation.
And he won't let go of that.
Yeah, so in the season finale, in season 5 finale, everybody goes to Palm Springs because of Steve's stupid fraternity, and Brandon is just, now he's gone from that like I'm better than you morality guy to just kind of a pig. mm-hmm. about women.
And he talks about that too. He says, like, I've always been the good guy. I'm just going to cut loose. And his
parents... but cutting loose is becoming this, like, again, this sexist asshole who
getting
is
really drunk,
like,
and just trying to get laid.
Objectifies women. Well, that's fine. It's fine to try to get laid. It's just the way that he and Steve are talking about women. Mm-hmm. It's so gross.
And his parents keep showing up in mirrors and in his imagination, because his parents moved to Hong Kong in this episode. And he decides to go to Palm Springs and have spring break or whatever they're doing and just party.
Brandon, you said you wouldn't fall apart on us.
What are you guys doing here?
Well, you better ask yourself that. This is your delusion.
Yeah, and since when did you start drinking?
Hang on a second, Dad. I've earned this bender. I was a good Boy Scout for a long time, and where did it get me, huh?
So, every time you don't get your way, you're going to get self-destructive?
Mom, I'm just having a little bit of good old-fashioned fun like everybody else.
He never wants to disappoint his parents. His parents also. I mean, their family is like, they're just so fucking vanilla.
Mm.
You know, that's not the word I'm looking for, but they're insufferably wholesome. I don't know.
I was confused by this plot device that they put in where his parents are showing up in mirrors and in his imagination, because he was imagining it all as them scolding him, and yet they were talking about things in their personal life that he wouldn't know, that were private between them.
Mm.
And he was imagining it. It just didn't make any fucking sense. Are we done with Brandon?
I mean, I don't know. What are we doing here? I feel like...
I think what we're doing is ranking all the characters of 90210. And I think David should have come
least favorite.
Brandon. No, I think Steve is my least favorite.
Okay. Talk to me about David.
I don't know. David could be my least favorite because he's a weasel and a douche, and he's just sycophantic, and he's like a freshman when the rest of them are
right. He's the youngest.
Juniors,
so
he just wants to be so cool, and he's annoying at the beginning.
In the first season, really funny. I thought he's really cute in the first season.
Right,
he's very young.
He's the only one acting his age.
Young, yeah, exactly. I looked them up. They were all in their
mid-40s.
20s.
Mm-hmm.
Early to mid-20s. But not David. He was younger.
His actual Tori Spelling might have been
18 or 19. Yeah. I don't know. It's been a while, you guys, since we watched all this, and things have been weird around here. So this is just going to be like a bad episode. So,
which matches anyway, with 90210.
One thing I took a note about David was that David got crabs.
And here's the day when the doctor put me on medication to treat me for the unexpected party favor that Ariel gave me.
Crabs?
But don't worry. Thanks to the magic of Pyronate A200, everything turned out okay.
Yes, he did get crabs and he joked about it. David's just a slimy douche.
No, but he cheats on Donna. Okay, so here's the thing. Donna is a virgin and is still a virgin after they leave high school?
I don't know.
She is committed to, I guess, being a virgin until she gets married? I don't know. And she sticks to that.
You like Texas?
No, I loved Texas. My parents, they belong to this country club. It's right on the lake. And every weekend they have barbecues and parties. And I went shopping and swimming. And the guys at the club, they have the most adorable accents. And they don't give a hoot if I'm a virgin.
And David, wants to get laid. So he cheats on her with this other person. And then they break up. So that's, I feel like that's what you're kind of talking about with the weasel thing. But
yeah,
he's always trying to
Yeah, he's scheming.
Weasel
and he's,
his way into things. Yeah.
Well, I just didn't like him.
He's also, he likes photography and videography.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like a DJ. I mean, he does have.
He plays keyboards
on the show.
In
like
Baby
he
Faces
has
band
talents. Yeah.
For one. But I don't understand why they couldn't have someone who at least had like been around a keyboard in their lifetime for that scene, because the way he was playing the keyboard was very awkward.
Describe it.
Well, he was standing. It was like he was standing on his tiptoes, and then like his hands were bent at a very sharp angle with his elbows. Like his forearms were perpendicular to the ground, and his hands were down. And he would play like his whole body was bouncing up and down like a bunny playing a keyboard. kind of.
Okay, now I got. That's yeah, exactly now I have like, a good
wearing
image.
Like a vest with like a Navajo design on the back.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And color me bad hair.
Yeah, I don't know. David becomes cool though. He's roommates with Kelly. And who's the other? Claire is another character. So yeah, I don't know. I think he gets better.
Who's next worst for you?
Next worst. Next worst?
I mean, we're
only talking about the young people, right? Like, we're not talking about the parents. Nat is cool, by the way. Nat's the guy who runs, he doesn't own it anymore. Luke Perry owns it in season 5, but...
The diner?
Mel's. Yeah.
Who's Mel?
No. Fucking Mel's? What is Mel's? The Peach Pit is what it's called. I have been calling it Mel's this whole time.
What is Mel's?
Mel's Diner is from something. We're going to need to look that up because our listeners are going to yell at us about whatever that's from. What'd you find?
I found that it was in maybe American Graffiti and the TV show Alice,
which I've never seen. Obviously, it's the Peach Pit. I'm like, I can't believe I was saying that wrong. I'm really sorry, everybody.
It's embarrassing for you.
It is. I'm really...
It's another thing that you got wrong about this show.
Embarrassed. Okay, we have to start wrapping this up. So. The big thing about David, though, too, is that he and Donna, they date throughout the series. So I don't know whether they ever get back together after season 5, because we didn't watch after, but...
It seems like David's with Claire at that point, kind of.
Yeah, he dates Claire in season 5, but...
Oh, and there's also a lesbian scare with Kelly. Yeah.
I wrote down, who's Allison? Oh, no! She's a lesbian. Look out, Kelly.
So Allison is...
Because that's their kind of attitude about it.
Apparently, somehow, in the middle of season 5, we missed that there was a big fire. And Allison is like this burn victim who Kelly is friends with. And she goes to pick her up from the hospital, and she's all healed.
This all happened in season 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is the finale.
And I think Kelly got burned too, but not as badly. There was a big fire. She brings Allison back to her house, and Allison tells her that she's into her, and Kelly's like, well, I'm really not. But they're having dinner, and David and Claire walk in on them and just assume, oh, Kelly's a lesbian now. So they go to Palm Springs and tell Brandon, yeah, remember how you proposed to Kelly and she broke up with you and you guys broke up? Yeah, now she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
Because they saw them eating dinner. So.
Well, Allison does confess her love for Kelly, like she's in love with Kelly.
Two women eating dinner in the 90s.
Wait a second, is that Allison from the fire?
Yep.
So Kelly turned down Dylan and Brandon for Allison.
It can't be the way it looks, right?
Ah, but why the big secret?
Lesbians.
Might as well be listening to Sarah McLachlan.
She is a lesbian, though, and she's into Kelly. And they're friends, and Kelly's not into it. I was kind of hoping she would be into it, but... It's cool that she's not. But yeah, then they like tease her about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I have to go back to one thing about that happened with Steve because it's so fucking funny to me. Steve, in season 5, episode 1, Steve has just come back from Hawaii.
Oh, God.
Because his girlfriend broke up with him.
We were snorkeling in Kapalua Bay one day, and we literally swam into some guy she knew from high school. It turns out he was a great lost love of her life.
Hasn't that just happened to everyone?
Oh, God. Oh, I loved it so much. Anyway.
Poor Steve. That douche.
I guess my next least favorite is Donna.
Yes.
But
I agree.
But I also feel like Donna is the only... consistently nice character on this show. Yeah. Like she never, and I, you know, there's a lot of it we didn't watch, so I could be wrong. But from what I remember and from what we watched, she is like pretty kind and doesn't fuck people over. She's not scheming like a lot of them are. I mean, it annoys me that she's like a virgin, but also like, that's her choice, and she stays strong with it. And I don't know. The thing is, though, as a character, I find her very boring.
Mm-hmm. Tori Spelling is a horrendous actor. She's not good.
I mean,
she's hard to watch.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. She's also, you know, like she and Kelly are always like, how many grams of fat are in this? How many grams of fat are in that? Which is just so fucking irritating. It's fine when they're trying to make a point about that, but it's just constant
background conversation. You
know? Yeah, so I don't know what else to say about Donna. She dates David throughout. She's best friends with Kelly and then best friends with Brenda. The three of them have a close friendship, but friendship drama and all that shit. And mostly her storyline is about David, though, which is annoying. Can I just read a few of my notes here real quick? There's a part where Luke Perry says, choke on it, to someone on the phone, and I loved it.
Mm.
I'm not sure if he knew how sexually suggestive that is, though. Oh, here's a Micah quote. Do you think they all get their blazers out of the same lost and found bin at the Big and Tall Man store? This was actually the time when I was laughing so hard that you asked if I was okay.
Okay.
Now, this is a callback to a very early one of our episodes that you all probably don't remember or maybe haven't listened to. But there was this time where Micah actually, this was one of the only times ever that we've tried to plan a joke.
Yeah, this was early on in the podcast.
It was my so-called life.
And I wrote this joke as we were watching it, and I was like, I have a joke done.
I have a joke. Here's how we're going to do it. And so the joke was about Graham, who is the dad on My So-Called Life, and how big his
all his blazers are like two sizes too big, which I know was the style.
Obviously, it was the style. But the joke was, did he get all his blazers out of the bargain bin at the Big and Tall Man store? And you were supposed to say, why didn't he get... Something about why didn't he get them out of the bargain bin at the regular man's size store.
Now you can all see why we fucked this joke up.
Yeah, so what I said was, instead of bargain bin, I said lost and found bin. That he got his blazers out of the lost and found bin.
Well, at least it's making you laugh.
At the Big and Tall Man store. I just want to read a couple more of my notes about their clothes. Like, there was a point where I wrote, Dylan is wearing a lot of denim.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of denim. And then right after that, I wrote, Brandon's wearing sweat shorts and a tie-dye t-shirt.
Sweat shorts.
Sweat shorts.
Wow.
And then later, Steve, oh God, his polo shirt tucked into his white pleated mm-hmm. shorts. Makes me upset.
Yeah, a lot of tucked-in shirts.
Oh God. Okay, next character. Andrea, maybe?
Maybe. Andrea.
Who would you say?
Who do we have left? Andrea, Kelly.
Andrea, Kelly,
Brenda. We haven't Brenda talked about Brenda
and
at all.
Dylan.
See, I can't really rank Brenda because I didn't see her much.
Yeah. Well, I can talk about Brenda a little bit. But let's talk about Andrea.
Okay. She didn't mind Andrea that much.
She's fine. She's cool. I actually like Andrea. I just don't like that she's such a fucking rule follower, like to the I don't know. It irritates me. But
some people are rule followers.
I know, but some people are really irritating about it. And sometimes she is.
You've never cheated on anything, have you?
No. I've never cheated on anything.
But you've wanted to, haven't you?
I don't see what that has
haven't to do.
Haven't you? Of course I have. Who hasn't? The point is, I didn't and you did.
And you're never going to let me forget it, are you?
Cheating's wrong, Brandon. What do you want me to say?
Nothing.
But, you know, she's smart. She's focused. She's not a typical Beverly Hills, you know, brat.
See, it doesn't bother me. The rule following doesn't bother me as much as it does with Brandon, because with Brandon, he doesn't actually follow the rules. He doesn't.
Just judges other people when they don't.
He's just all high and mighty and self-righteous. High and mighty,
yes.
Andrea keeps quiet and
virtue signaling.
Yeah.
That's the term I was trying to think of earlier. Like, Brandon and the whole Walsh family, like, they're just so fucking big on virtue signaling. Mm-hmm. And so is this whole show. But
Andrea, like, keeps to herself, wants to do, like, she wants to expose things for the sake of the newspaper that she's working for.
No, she's a way better person. She's really into that. No, she's a good person, and I like her.
Brandon just wants the attention.
Fucking Brandon is the worst.
Brandon and Brenda's relationship is weird, too, because
I like their relationship. They're sweet.
But they're twins, and Brenda is totally infantilized by the family.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because she's a woman. Because she's just this girl.
Yeah, she's a girl. But also, he overshadows her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some weird shit going on there. But I think their relationship is cool. I mean, they're close and they're twins. And yeah, but still, he's annoying. It's still always about, like, him giving advice and him being right about everything. And fuck off. She's way better than him.
So, Brenda.
So, anyway, Andrea was in love with Brandon through the whole series. or through the beginning seasons. And then now in season 5, she had a baby. At the end of season 4, you didn't know if the baby was going to even survive. And she does. And you find out. And she's married to this guy. I can't remember his name. But they have a baby now.
He's going to be a lawyer and he has cool cowboy boots. I remember that about him.
Yeah, but he works as a bartender and he's flirting with other women. And I have a feeling that's not going to end well. But who knows? But Andrea is cool. Brenda left the show after season 4. At the end of season 4, she and So everybody fucks everybody on this show. except for the virgins. The big relationship, I think the whole kind of crux of the show in the beginning is Brenda and Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
They're everything. They are the Angela and
Jordan Catalano.
Except that Luke Perry's not like such a douche like mm-hmm. Jordan Catalano.
The thought of you leaving really wiped me out. I realized how much I'd miss you.
Me too.
There's so much that we haven't done.
I thought we've done everything.
I didn't mean that. I mean, like, well, I haven't even taken you to my favorite surf shop or to check out my favorite band.
Going to a surf shop together is pretty serious stuff. You sure you want to take that major step?
I think so.
So anyway, that was a big part of her character. And she does, like, you see her kind of grow up. Like, she loses her virginity to him. And, like, she goes through a lot of shit on the show. And it's kind of cool. And in the beginning, she's this Midwest girl who's really trying to fit in with mm-hmm. these fucking Beverly Hills people. And I don't know. I liked watching the way she kind of evolved. And so at the end of season 4, she and Dylan hook up again. And they say, like, she says she loves him and she's planning to go to
She's
London.
Going to London for like an acting
She's doing an acting thing for like 6 months or something, yeah. And she's planning to come back, but they ask her to stay, and so she stays, and basically...
And then she's off the show.
She's off the show. So,
she tells him, I'm going to come back.
Yeah,
you'll always be the one.
I think she will.
We got to talk about some characters and wrap this up.
I know, Kelly.
Kelly.
Is Kelly the last?
Kelly's next. No,
oh, Kelly and then
there's
Dylan.
One more spot.
My baby.
Don't give away the top pick.
We already said who it was.
Okay, so Kelly...
You
she was
go.
Fine.
No, I didn't let's talk
really,
about Dylan.
I didn't really know that much about Kelly. Like, she is, at the beginning, she's very Beverly Hills, have to have the best clothes.
So superficial.
Yeah,
so
superficial,
like...
and gross. And she seems better at the end. I was actually, the whole lesbian thing, when Allison was, like, telling her feelings, Kelly's response, I was actually really impressed.
Totally.
She didn't get grossed out. She didn't,
No, they're still friends.
She was like,
you know, it's so strange because I know that you're looking at the two of us standing here and you see a couple. But that's just so far from the way I feel.
She was totally fine with it and she wasn't even like uncomfortable around her. Like, she hugged her after and everything. It was just all the other characters that were making jokes about it.
Yeah, and I don't think they were even homophobic. I mean, mostly it was Brandon, like, giving her shit about it because he was
still
being a fucking
baby
about it. But yeah, no, I think Kelly, I actually think that's a perfect example of how Kelly does evolve. Like, in the beginning, in season 1, if that storyline would have happened, she would have had a very different response to it, which absolutely would have been grossed out and... I think that would have been consistent with her character. But yeah, I think she's the character that grows and changes the most, which is probably what makes her likable to a lot of people, like relatable. She's not at all relatable in the beginning and mm-hmm. then like grows, you know, matures into an actual human. And she also has a relationship with Dylan and then she has a relationship with Brandon. But she turns into a good friend and like interesting person. I'm down with Kelly. She super sucked at the beginning. And she goes through stuff too, like, you know, eating disorder shit and other stuff. I don't remember. And Dylan. Seriously, I'm so sad about Luke Perry. I have been watching a lot of Riverdale lately, which is a show, if you don't know, it's a show based on Archie comics, which I used to read constantly and used to collect as a kid. So when Riverdale came out, I was super excited. Our friends have a podcast about it, actually. It's called The Doghouse. It's Macintosh and Maude. So we've had them on before, and you should look it up if you're a Riverdale fan. But anyway, yeah, it's very good. And Luke Perry plays Archie's dad. He plays it so sweetly, and he's not, you know, because in 90210, he was such a heartthrob, and mm-hmm. he was so, everything about him,
he was cool.
He was very cool and very sexy all the time.
He was basically James Dean in the first season.
Oh my God, yes, that's who he was. He was a 90s James Dean, I think probably very intentionally. Yeah, and was super hot and sexy. I mean, he is a sexy man. Like, he has this soft-spoken way about him. Oh man, I'm getting horny. Just kidding. That was gross. I hate the word horny.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I've ever heard you use it.
I know, I hate it. It's so gross. Anyway, I love Luke Perry, but in Riverdale, he's not as much of a heartthrob. He's, you know, a lot older. He's like 50.
Mm.
But Dylan is troubled. Dylan is probably the most troubled character, I would say. Dylan also gets around, you know, he had relationships with Brenda and Kelly. And then later, Valerie's a great character that we aren't really talking about.
It's Kelly Kapowski from Saved by the Bell.
And she is this sexy little thing. She's very sly and is always like looking to take advantage of people and things. And anyway, I find her interesting. But yeah, she smokes weed. And the way that people react in this show, it is so ridiculous. It is like the worst thing. The music that plays when Kelly walks in because she thought she smelled weed, the music is like, I mean, it's just an after school. It literally does turn into an after school special, and it is as bad as an after school special. It's just the worst kind of virtue signaling on this show. Like, drugs are bad. Anyway, yeah. So Dylan's the best, and
he was pretty good. Troubles with
alcohol, and he abuses alcohol, and he's just troubled. He goes through a lot of shit.
But he shows like acting chops during those scenes. He's in Mexico because his family just stole all his money, and he just goes to Mexico and hangs out on a beach and drinks.
Sorry I'm late. Must have just lost track of time, you know.
Along with how much money you owe me.
No, Juarez, I've run up a tab before.
Yes, but that when your credit cards were good. Now they bounce from here to Oaxaca.
You know, if you're going to talk about my credit cards that way, I think we probably ought to be alone.
I don't think you're in a position to make demands, my friend. Look, you have had a fine time down here the last 2 months with my ladies, my booze. But now it's time to settle up. What happened to you, hombre? You used to be worth millions.
I got ripped off.
By who?
They said they were my family.
Yeah.
And he's like, I actually cared about this person.
I know. It's really hard to care about some of this shit.
I just don't give a shit because it's so bad. It's like soap opera acting, and it's painful to watch.
Yeah.
But the scenes when Dylan's by himself and doesn't have to interact with the rest of these jokers, he was really good.
I think I'm going to cry. He and Brenda are pretty great. I mean, I don't love Brenda or Shannon Doherty's acting, actually, at all. But I feel like they were able to create, you know, some real, like, genuine moments. I think he and Kelly did, too.
So, usually we watch things that you have not seen.
Well,
hence the name of the podcast. You didn't see season 5 because you were gone.
Right, right. This is a little bit of a cheat.
But it's a little different because I had never seen this.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I missed out on anything. I'm so happy that I
got to share this with you. I mean, I think it really obviously enhanced your life. And
yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. It's a big deal, though. And it was a big deal. And yes, it's bad. And it's also good. And it's also, there are some things about it that are kind of progressive, actually. Like, the way that they treat girls and women, I think, is actually pretty progressive. Not some of the men, some of the dudes are sexist, but they don't slut shame. The girls are pretty empowered, except for Donna. Donna has an abusive relationship also that we didn't mention. She's getting, like, she thinks she deserves to be abused. Donna is just kind of pathetic.
That guy is the worst, though.
I don't mean to say people who are abused, like domestically abused, are pathetic. I'm just saying Donna's character is.
That's but that situation was really
hard to watch. Yeah, because I mean, but again, it was a good portrayal of abusive relationships and how hard it is to leave them, and it's messed up. So they address a lot of real shit on the show. It's just that sometimes they do it really well, and sometimes it's a fucking after-school special.
And those were the only parts I saw, were the after-school special parts, I guess.
Yeah, whatever.
So we've talked a little bit tonight about some of the things these characters went through in 90210, like eating disorders, abuse, alcoholism, drugs. So I wanted to see if we could tie that in really smoothly, like that I'm doing right now, with you talked about histories and how you had to write histories while you were in Montana.
No, it totally does tie in, actually, because what you're watching when you watch 90210 is a bunch of teenagers growing up and going through some shit. Obviously, they didn't go through the same shit that I went through, but yeah, histories. Okay, I'm trying to remember all the categories of histories we had to write. We were required to write very, very, very thorough histories of different parts of our lives. For example, we had to write sexual histories. We had a list of questions, and you had to go through every single sexual experience. I mean, starting from when you were a child, like, you know, playing doctor or whatever you do. So they end up being, you know, like some people had over 100 pages. I think, I don't know how many pages mine was, but they're very, very long.
How often did you have to write these? Was this just like ongoing?
Well, I was writing them. I was working on them a lot when I was on work crew because I wasn't allowed to, like, you know, be part of the group. So after I was done with work, which was like around sunset, I would, I guess, probably have dinner and do chores and then go and write while everybody else was doing group. So we had to write every single detail of every single encounter we had that could even be interpreted as sexual, including any like assault or harassment or, I mean, every single thing. And we also had to do the same thing with abuse. We did the same thing with drugs. My drug history was, I don't know, I don't remember anything about it. What were the other ones? What else? Oh, eating disorder. Anyway, so we had to write these very, very long, detailed histories, and then we had to share them with each other.
Like to the whole group?
Yes, we had to share some of it with the whole group. We didn't like sit and read the entire thing, but some parts we shared. And then I think we got in small groups and read each other's stuff. I don't know. My memory is really fuzzy on it. What I remember is that we spent a lot of time writing them and that it was very violating. Like the whole experience was very violating. And the idea of having, like, being required to share every single detail of every single sexual thought or experience or every single anything that could be constituted as abuse or whatever. Anyway, it's very violating to have to share all that shit. When my parents came, so after I ran away, my mom came back to the school with me for a few days, and they made her write a history. Oh, yeah, I think one of them was just life history. Like, you just basically write your autobiography. Anyway, my mom had to write a history, and then she had to share it. So she shared stuff in group, and she shared things that, frankly, I wish I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to know, and my dad ended up doing the same thing when he came. So I know things about them that I have no business knowing.
What was the purpose of that? Like, I can see therapeutically you doing an inventory of all these things and maybe talking to a therapist about it in private.
Right.
About but that, parts of it that you wanted to like talk about.
That. Yeah, exactly.
But being forced to share it with your peers and having parents share.
I mean, it's kind of humiliating. Yeah, and then
what's the purpose of that?
I don't know, but I also I had issues with like codependence, particularly with my mom, and like feeling smothered and having them share that shit, like personal shit,
mm-hmm.
just made me feel so much more smothered mm-hmm. and like violated. It was a very strange part of the whole experience. I'm not sure what the point of it was. I mean, honestly. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like almost therapeutic. It's almost you can see why in a different context it might be a good thing to do.
And used in a different way. They were using that information to like hold it over you and
right.
abuse
that's
you.
And that's exactly it. And that's exactly what I think is that the headmaster of the school enjoyed using it against us or, you know, making us feel humiliated mm-hmm. about stuff that we had done or been through. I guess that's what I have to say about histories right now. I really wish I had some of them.
Do you?
Well, I only so that I could give more,
yeah.
like better information because my memory is so bad and I, you know.
So how often did you do this? Was it just an ongoing thing? Was it weekly? Was it?
I think that there was a period where they were just like, you have to write all these histories. And so they would give us a bunch of time to write them. Yeah, so that's that. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, everybody. We love you. Hey, let us know if you like this show. It's just really nice to hear from people. So if you connect with this show, let us know. It would mean a lot to us. And other ways you can support the show, you can become a patron on Patreon.
How would they find us on Patreon?
Patreon.com/I Never Saw That Podcast, obviously.
So obvious.
So obvious. You could also rate and review us on iTunes. We should read some reviews sometimes because they're just so wonderful to read. Without further ado, thanks to Graham McRae for our artwork.
Thank you to Fifi Folios for our internet stuff.
Thanks to Minus Violet for our music.
Until next time.
See you in the 90s. 90210. Okay.